Hi, Tara.
Hey, Bushu, how are you?
Great. We have been dying to catch up with you at Mothers of Invention because we've been watching, listening. So today's minisode is a much needed catch up on the climate justice wins of our friend Tara Hauske, who we had on the podcast. That was way back in episode 2 of our very first season.
Right. And like doing all, and I still wear a business suit sometimes. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's a little different these days. I live in the woods now and live in a pipeline resistance camp.
You live in a pipeline resistance camp?
I do. I have for the last 2 years. So I'm living outside. I just came from there. I put on lipstick to talk, try to like spruce myself up a little bit.
Well, you look beautiful. Tara Hauske is Bear Clan from Kuchiching First Nation and founder of the Ginu Collective, an Indigenous women-led frontline resistance to protect the earth. And her work is living proof of how our individual and collective actions really do have impact. Tara is a tribal rights attorney. She was also a former advisor on Native American affairs to Bernie Sanders. And now, well, right now, she is in Minnesota protesting the Enbridge pipeline there.
The hat for the mosquitoes and flies everywhere.
So she's living in the woods, but we managed to seek her out and we got a call in with her. And it's so funny because a lot of us have just been indoors for months because of the pandemic, but you look so healthy, like you've actually been outside.
Yeah, no, like that's like been one weird thing with COVID, right? Is like everyone's like, what? How has it changed? And I was like, well, we were already isolated living in the woods together. So it's kind of not, it's been harder to organize for sure. Like that's been much harder.
We were really keen to catch up with her because honestly, if you just take a look at her Instagram, which I do a lot, I love what you do. I love what you do with your gram.
Yeah, the gram.
Or catch some of the headlines she's been generating.
Was ordered to shut down the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota.
Work on the Keystone XL pipeline is being halted.
The Washington Redskins launch a review of its controversial name after demands.
It's clear that since we've been off air, Tara has been working with communities all over the U.S. to smash victories out of the park, from halting pipelines, facing down banks, to changing the face of American football through determination, power, and a lot of help and support from people everywhere. You're such a busy, busy person. We just adore you on this show. You've been an early Mothers of Invention. The last time we spoke to you, it was back in, I think it was like our second episode ever. It was called The White Man Stole the Weather. And it was 2 years ago. So tons and tons and tons have happened. Okay, so we're going to talk through three of your latest triumphs because they're huge. There's fossil fuel divestment, the oil protests, and well, will we start with the Not Your Mascot campaign, which you set up to help fight against the stereotyping of Native Americans in sport. So in the middle of July this year, thanks to public and financial pressure that you helped to organize, change finally happened at the Washington football team in Washington, D.C. Here's NBC Sports' take on it.
Washington football team owner Dan Snyder had for years said he would never change the name. The infamous quote was, never, put it in all caps.
Yep, they decided to change the racist team name because, as Whitney Cummings very astutely pointed out on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show,
the football team has finally taken a stand in changing the name of the Redskins. And I must say, in their defense, back when they named the team the Redskins, it was only very racist.
Could you tell us like how you got involved and also like how you're feeling? It's been a huge story, I think, all around the world.
Yeah. I went to D.C., right, to like do this work on Capitol Hill. Picture, you know, I'm a brand new lawyer. I've just accepted this position and I'm super excited to represent tribes all over the country doing this work on the Hill for my people. And I'm in the subway sandwich place. And I look in front of me, there's a guy wearing the jersey. All the employees have the logo on their outfits because they're running a like Redskins special.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm sitting there like, if I were a Native kid living in this place, how would I feel? You think that we're like this mascot caricature and you're like putting feathers on your head and like painting your face. And I couldn't believe that. And so I started tweeting about this team. We ended up forming an organization called Not Your Mascots and started organizing protests around it, demonstrations, writing about it. When I started getting involved, like one of the first things I recognized right away was like the resistance to this had been happening for decades. Like we're talking like my grandma, you know what I mean? Like her age, like there's been demonstrations against the Washington football team and all those other racist teams since the 60s, the 1960s. And so we're talking 60 years of advocacy, 25 years worth of lawsuits led by Suzanne Harjo and Amanda Blackhorse as the plaintiff. You know, I mean, this is like decades of work.
Wow.
And the change I saw that was really like that took like the final nail or whatever in the, in the coffin of that form of racism. That particular team, it's only one team. All the rest of them are kind of like, no, but we're not us though. And it's like, yes, you too. What I see is that it took the murder of George Floyd during the pandemic when everyone was paying attention to have millions of people marching in the streets, to have cities burning, to have a conversation about racism brought into the national narrative. It opened up the window to so many other issues around systemic racism.
Yeah, it is a powerful time for change. Okay, so now let's talk about your mega pipeline victories against the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Keystone XL Pipeline. You fought back against these massive oil pipelines that crossed into Native American land and endangered people's drinking water, as well as the environment and the human rights of Indigenous people, because leaks are known to happen frequently. To catch listeners up, when we spoke to you 2 years ago, you told us about your inspiring, but honestly also quite horrific experiences working on the protest back at Standing Rock. But just in the past few months, there's been some really big back-to-back news, and I've been so excited to talk to you about it. So would you be able to, in your lawyerly way, sum up what happened?
My lawyerly way? I'll take off my camo and put on my suit. So there's been incredible wins in the judiciary around the suspension of the Keystone XL pipeline due to its water crossing permits, and the potential decommissioning, or at least the stopping oil flow in the Dakota Access Pipeline, also by the judiciary.
Possibly threatened people's water supply there and ordered a review of the structure's environmental impact.
The judge straight up said, no, empty the line, decommission it. You're shutting the flow of oil off. That's incredible, you know, to hear that kind of message being sent to the fossil fuel industry of, you don't get to go around. You don't get to go around environmental review. You didn't play right, so the game is done for you. You know, fix it and we'll talk again. You know, like that's literally what happened.
I remember seeing the news on both of those pipelines and all of these kind of sad oil men being really grumpy about like prices and jobs.
Yeah, you know, the U.S. Secretary of Energy said that, you know, he blamed the activists, which I thought was kind of, you know, I was like, oh, good. You saw that we've been quite busy out there, huh? And said, I'm not sure what they're against, if it's jobs or what.
Yeah, here he is speaking to Fox News.
It's just very disappointing because it's such a lost opportunity because of the number of jobs that would have been created in places like West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio.
Why are those the only jobs? Like, that's my question. You know, why are the only jobs those that are decided by, like, massive corporations who are hell-bent on destroying the planet for profit?
You know, for sure. It just doesn't really wash anymore. But then an area that you've been working on for a really long time is divestment, which is basically getting big banks to take their money out of fossil fuel investing. And you've just had a win, and this win is big. You got Deutsche Bank to pull the plug on their fossil fuel investment. So, I mean, how did you do that?
I mean, you always got to follow the money. I learned that a long time ago. And it's very helpful to know who's actually pulling the strings. Yeah, so I've personally been involved in divestment since we were barricaded in at the Standing Rock encampments. Started doing, you know, direct actions at bank branches and directing people how to pull their money out, which banks were funding the projects, but also doing these kind of like face-to-face meetings with banking and financiers.
So when you actually go to meet, say, Deutsche Bank, what is that like?
So I've been to a number of banking meetings in both groups of women and also individually as just me. You are, you know, after months of pushing or organizing a meeting, you finally get the yes and the okay, and it's going to happen, right? So in the case of Deutsche Bank, you know, you're at this massive stone building made out of concrete and all the glass, and it's all dark and all the things, and lots of security guards at Deutsche Bank, lots. The guy with the little ear headset is, they're here. Then you're sitting at a long table with all these bankers across the way and then telling them your story. But not only telling them your story, but giving them the substantive things that institutions like that need to believe your story, which is, here are the lawsuits that have been filed that say that we do not consent to this project that we're talking about. Here is the documentation from the United Nations about the human rights abuses that occurred. Also, here is a copy of your policy on human rights. Here's a copy of your policy on Indigenous peoples, if you have one. Why are you continuing to engage in these, you know, issues? And I feel like a lot of times people think like, oh, it must feel so powerless. I don't feel like that at all. Like, I feel, quite frankly, I feel sorry for them that, like, they genuinely, truly believe in this world that's been created around them, and that that is the right thing to do, and that we won't show up with, like, 1,000 people and, like, be screaming their name, holding signs outside.
Yeah.
We're not coming from a position of weakness. We're coming from a position of power.
Yeah. I would be shaking if I was in that room and I was a banker.
Oh, they are. Like, they straight up are. Some of them are, like, so just, like, nervous and, like, shaky and, like,
I did actually record myself for Mothers of Invention calling off and divesting from my bank. I mean, it was a great feeling to do it. It was tricky. I called them up and I said, you know, the woman from customer service, like, hung up on me. And this is, like, my little sheltered experience. I was like, how? She hung up the phone on me? Like, I got real Karen about it.
How dare you? How dare? Yeah, I mean, and for us, like, I mean, when you're, like, not the customer service rep, but when you're meeting, like, the head of oil and gas investment, and, like, they're like, oh, so your people are dying, okay, you know, you show me these pictures of people getting bitten by dogs. I mean, we're a banking institution, and our customer isn't saying that that's happening. So, you know, you're like, what? Like, you guys are so disconnected.
Wow.
Like,
we have a ton to learn from you and your teams and the various battles that you fight on different fronts. And I think that you are evidence that, like, our actions matter. So key things that we can do. Okay, this is what I've learned. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Take action, even if you're scared.
Yes, please.
Any money you have is power. Follow that money. Divest it. Any relation you have to money, if you're in college or in an institution, make sure they divest.
Yes.
What's the best way for, like, people to make that decision and take those actions to divest?
I'm part of a coalition called Stop the Money Pipeline.
Stop the Money Pipeline. Yeah.
Okay. Visit Stop the Money Pipeline. We have a website. You can learn how to, like, pull out your money. You can learn what banks are much better when it comes to investing in sustainability. So that, and also teaching each other, you know, like, once you know, you can't not know. So tell other people, raise children to be empathetic and compassionate and educated about these issues. I don't know, the last thing that I always tell people to do is I encourage them to try to find ways to put their feet in the dirt and to remember that they're part of this earth.
Okay, and as you say, it's important to note that you started work on most of these victories actually years ago. And, like, in the case of the Washington football team, there were generations of activists before you, too. It sounds like sometimes, like, it's a slow burn, isn't it?
I would say that it is a representation to me that sometimes it takes a really long time, and it takes every single angle possible to then receive this moment, and you're building for that moment where it's everything is right and everything is come together to create that space for that change to finally happen. So don't get tired along the way. Remember that, like, even if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, that it might happen in the next lifetime.
Oh, Tara, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Miigwech.